So in putting the Lord to rest, this was the last section of the 64. This is another variation on the of asana, where we're performing, creating a new situation for the deities. And this situation is for resting. Okay, so this is after, in the afternoon, after the Raj Bhog offering. And then in the evening, so if there's only, so if you only have large deities, then you keep small beds, you know, it can be whatever size, doesn't matter, but small beds, whatever you continue to keep. And then put the meditation, and you put the big deities to rest in those small beds. Now if you have small deities, or the Shaligram, then you make a bed that's suitable for that deity, and then put them to bed. Like that. The Shaligram, because Shaligram accepts all these kind of aspects of the puja for the main deity. And if it's small deities, Yutsamurtis, then that is also part of their activities. Then, at this time we don't need to put them into night dress. That, they just, what they're resting, what they're wearing that day, just remove the crowns, remove the flute. Like that, and then put them nicely in the bed. It also will not be so important to you. Okay. Then, so we perform we do Achman. We offer basin to the spiritual master, taking his blessings to be able to perform this worship. Like that. Then, if it is in the evening, yeah, means. In the afternoon, many of the things of that we'll do in the evening have been done. Okay, we'll go through this as if it's the evening, then we will discuss just minor variations for the afternoon. Okay, then, so we'll take for that, we'll take tabula, some pan, some flowers, some condensed milk, and some fresh water for the deities. And then we go to before the altar. Then we should see that if we need to be sleeping with mosquito nets and that, the deities will have mosquito nets. Means if there's mosquitoes, flies, other kinds of annoying things floating around, then we should have mosquito nets for the deities. And if not, in a place that doesn't have mosquitoes, like, you know, Siberia, or, you know, northern, you know, whatever it is, Finland or something, then don't worry about it. Though up there, I think there's flies, right? You have kinds of flies. So, in other words, if there's no insects, then you don't need mosquito nets. If there's if there's insects, then you need mosquito nets. So then the bedding should be taken, put nicely. You know, take everything, shake everything out, make sure it's all nice, fluff it up nicely, and decorate it with flowers. You know, pull the bed sheets down, decorate nicely with some flowers. And then, we sit at the deity's lotus feet of the Lord, you know, with the mood of rendering various kinds of services, like that. Then take off garlands, jewelry, any kind of, how you say, extra clothing that is just mainly for decoration, and only leave their night clothing. This is after they've been put into the night clothing. So night clothing basically is just very simple with no jewelry. You don't like to sleep with jewelry. Get some of that. Okay, and then then we invite them to take rest, with this mantra, Agata Shayanastanam Vyavi Zahakeshava Divya Pushpatya Shayanam Supa Viraha Madhava. Now come, O Keshava, along with your beloved Shrimati Radharani and her friends, to the bed covered with transcendental aromatic flowers, to happily enjoy the pastimes, O Madhava. So then we take the shoes, like that, and bring the deities. Then we put the shoes next to the bed. He was mentioning if you can arrange a small mat or a pillow, the shoes. Then bring the lordships next to the bed, standing next to the bed. You don't put them in the bed yet. And then, yeah, then if, okay, then when they sit next to the bed, then we wash their feet, we perform achman, you'll get off this thick silk, ganadhubham, condensed milk, then something to drink, then wash the hands and mouth, hasamprakshanam, wash the feet again, and then offer them flowers, and then tambulam. Then after, we should also offer Angavastra, to dry their feet, because before you take rest, you shouldn't rest with wet feet. It's not proper. After you wash the feet before taking rest, the feet should be dried. You shouldn't take rest with wet feet. So then the Lord's feet would be dried at that time, offer a tambula, and then place them in the bed and massage their feet. Then after that, then put the covering nicely on them, according to the, you know, what is the weather and the room temperature. If it's cold, then you put more. If it's hot, then you put less, or nothing. Just keep it folded on the side, like that. So then, there's any other, so that's the procedure for putting the deities to rest. Now, at noontime, when you're putting them to rest after lunch, they've already washed feet and these things, and they've offered tambulam and everything. So now basically you just have to do the aspects of inviting them to the bed and putting them in the bed. You don't have to offer the condensed milk all this, because they've just eaten. They've taken the sweets, everything. So this means that this is in the night after the last offering's there, and they're dressed and everything changed, and had to enter the bed. So just before taking rest, something is offered, some tambulam, some sweet, like that. So that you get the difference between the two times. Right? Because they've just washed their feet and everything there, they've already eaten. So here we're washing the feet because, you know, you've been up and this and that. You wash your feet before taking rest, you should be clean. Like that, you're cool, you're fresh. At the same time, then after they've eaten something, then wash your hands, your mouth, and feet. But we've already done that before. They've eaten, taken their sweets, we've washed the feet, we've offered tambulam, so there's no need to do those things. So just bring them to the bed, invite them in, lay them down, and then, you know, massage your feet. And if there's need of a covering, then there. If not, then just they can sit in there. It's also nice is that the deity, you can put them, depending on the deity, in their back or a little bit on their left side, like that. And this Shayanakasi is when Lord Vishnu laid down to rest. And then halfway through, on that day when Prabhupada took the nyas, the Vishrup Otsava, Vishrup Utsava. Then that's when Lord Chaitanya's brother Vishrup took sannyas. But it's also the day when Mahavishnu turns from his left side over to his right side, because it's halfway through the night. Right? Like that. During the Dakshinayana, when the sun is moving towards the south, the days start getting shorter. So that's nighttime for the demigods. So 6 months is a day, 6 months is a night. So no one sleeps the whole night. So after a little time of it getting dark, then you take rest, and then a little bit before it gets light, they get up. So we see then Vishnu sleeps four months out of this. That means 2 months. Then the month before, the month afterwards, and they're still up even though it's dark for the demigods. during that time. So he rests on his left side, lays, and then halfway through he turns to his right side. Like that. So one can, if it's practical, one can also lay them on that side, like that. Or if not, then to lay them on the back. And when you're laying them down, you can also see that that they're laying flat. That big base is in that, then the bed should be built in such a way the mattress is very thick and soft so that the base can sink in. Or it should be some way that the base can go down. Okay, so you have different mantras for the different deities. Shayanam agachatam Krishna Jashotanand Varana Shayam agachantam Rama Pati. O Krishna, O source of Mother Jashoda's happiness, now please come to your bed. O Lord Balaram, please come to your bed and bestow your mercy upon me, who am so lowly and fallen. Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. Agatha Shainam Stanam Agrajendra Hijokshaja. Hijokshaja. Agacha Nidishayam Cha Supadre Made Ayam Kuru. O Lord Jagannath, if you please, you and your elder brother Balaram now come to your beds. O Mother Subhadra, please come to your resting place and kindly bestow your mercy upon me. O Lord Chaitanya, Agacha Vishwanamasaram Swagane Sahagauranga Kshanam Vishramya Sukhena Lilaya Vihara Prabho. O Lord Gauranga, please come to your resting place along with your associates. O Lord, rest comfortably for a moment, enjoying your pastimes. Bihar means it's like comfortable. Like that. It's also used in, you know, be happy, bihar. Sukham, bihar. It also, I think it means live that pastimes. Vihara. So Vihara is Sanskrit, and then in Bengali it comes out to be Bihar. And the Krishna is known as Bihari. Like that. So you can think, you know, Bhakti Bihari, like that. It's the same word. Then for Lord Nrisingadev, Akachas Sainam Nityananda Jagadguru. Oh, this is for Nityananda, excuse me. O spiritual master of the universe, O Lord Tatyananda, please come to your place of rest. In your form, Mahavishnu, please rest upon the thousand-headed serpent known as Seta. Then after this, you can offer your activities. Sadhu vasadhu dhava karam yat yat acharitam maya. Tat sarvam bhagavan vishno grihanar atanam param pam samipe shayanasane grihe divyacharata uchayata chakachata ad asti kinchit sutam sukritam kritam maya janardhanastena kritena tushyatu. O Lord, please accept all that I have done, whether complete or incomplete, as if it were the best kind of worship. O Lord Janardana, if I performed any pious deeds, please be satisfied with what I have done during the day or night, while sitting or moving in the house or outside. And then we go through the same procedure for the spiritual master. Agacha Shayana Stanam Swaganai Sahasri Udo. O spiritual master, please come to your resting place along with all your associates. For other deities, one can say, Agacha Shayanasanam Swaganai Saha, and the name of the deity. Then we Put out the lamps and leave the deity room quietly, locking the door and offering up obeisances to the spiritual master and to the deities. And then all their jewelries and different things like that, they should all be put away in the proper place. They go very nicely. You shouldn't just throw them around and figure we'll do it tomorrow. Always try to do everything at the time it's done. We finish the morning puja, then we clean everything up and put everything away. We finish the night puja, we put everything away at that time. Then it means we're respecting the Lord's paraphernalia. We understand the paraphernalia is not different from the Lord. That's very good. Otherwise, we just figure later, and we're not really seeing that the Lord's paraphernalia is nothing different from Him. It's His paraphernalia, tadi. So this we may say, well, it's just some clothes, but that it's the tadiya means the Lord's paraphernalia. But that also goes to include the sisis. The devotees are also tadiya. The padasivana is specifically, one is worshipping the Lord's feet, massaging the Lord's feet, doing service like Lakshmi is doing, but it also means worshipping and serving the devotees. We serve the devotees are situated at the Lord's lotus feet. So padasivana means the Lord's feet and the devotees. So if we're not able to see the paraphernalia as part of, connected with the Lord, neglect, there's also a very good chance we will also neglect devotees. We don't see things in relationship to the Lord like that. So we have to, it goes together, they're connected. We have to be very, very careful about that. Okay. Okay, then a little something he mentions on the upacharas. So in the old system, then one would worship, one would offer respect to the paraphernalia itself. Then one would offer respect to the deity of the paraphernalia. It means the looks of the paraphernalia. Then after that, one would offer respect to the person it's going to be offered to. Then you would offer it. So it's quite a long process. So then in the Bengali system, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava system, then they pretty much just stick to the using these mukha mantras, where they just, after purifying everything, then just you say the mantra and then offer that thing to the deity. So then here, then this, generally the word used is this. And depending upon the gender or the plurality, then it's comes out from, so etat or idam for neuter words, etat padyam, idam asmityam, esha for masculine words, esha ganda, esha deepa, and esha for feminine words, esha ganda, ganga amritika. There's plural number then etani for neuter items, ete for masculine, eta for feminine items. just a grammarian, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Okay, so any questions on that? Because that finishes this book. That finishes our main book, volume one. So that just leaves us the... So now for home worship and simple deity temple worship, then there's a chapter in here, chapter 3, that then can be seen, can be studied. That basically takes the same principles, but simplifies them to some degree. But one must always keep in mind the principles that are there for what we discussed here. That. Otherwise, deity worship is the same thing. It is one entity. The purpose is that when it comes to the point of understanding the deity is non-different from the Lord. It is directly the Lord himself. So all these different rules and regulations are there for the purpose of seeing that we follow the proper culture that they will then be pleased with. So the essential element, of course, is always devotion. But to ensure that devotion is manifest by proper regulation, then all these different rules and regulations are given. So whether we're doing something very elaborate or very simple, the principles of trying to come to that platform of devotion must be maintained. That is essential. Otherwise, if it's not, then we will not get a whole lot of benefit like that. Or maybe careful we may commit offenses. So that always must be there. When we're dealing with deities, we have to be very careful. Because the form is the Lord. And it's only the deity archa form that is dealing with that is more serious. We want to do worship in a home or in a temple, but we cannot either. There's less personnel, less pujaris to do worship, or one doesn't have much facility or time, and one can also worship pictures. That's one of the 8 forms of deities. So in the recent 60s and 70s, then new temple, preaching center like that. Family always meant pictures, Chaitanya pictures. And only when there were a lot of devotees, then they would get actually into deities. Like that. Because the idea is that when one was worshipping the Lord, then everything should be very nice. Maybe simple, but it has to be very nice and very regular. Very clean, properly offered, maintaining proper standards. So, there any questions on this volume? Otherwise, the other volume is a little thinner, but a little heavier. Process of deity of elaborate additional verses, additional notes. Okay. Additional verses that we don't need to deal with. Additional notes. What is in there? 133. Puja Kramana. Worshipping. Menu. Daily schedule. Elaborate. Nikadasi, HDC laws, deity worship references, Govardhan Shri, qualifications of a bona fide disciple, mudras, 6 divisions of purity, deep glimpse at mantras, preparation for the day of devotional service. Okay. Process of deity worship. here to get into some serious philosophy. Yes, many points we've covered. This is taken from the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 27. This is where Krishna himself personally describes to Uddhava the process of worship. So what we had in the main volume was what Lord Chaitanya's description to Sanatana Goswami. And then how that manifests and how it comes to us, how it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the basis of that description of the 64 items of worship. So here we're going through, means once we understand those principles, then this makes some sense, gives a little bit more elaborate aspects, more technical. So here, Krishna Chaitra gives some points here. Krishna summarizes the process of deity worship in chapter 27 of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That such a description of Panchratrika Vidhi appears in the Bhagavatam indicates that Bhagavat Vidhi complements Panchratrika Vidhi. Let's say Panchratrika Vidhi complements Bhagavat Vidhi. With that, it's a supplement to the Bhagavat. In this section of Panchratrika Pradeep, we provide the text of chapter 27 along with explanatory notes that tie in Lord Krishna's description of deity worship with the procedures given elsewhere in this manual, and also with some general concepts of Panchratrika Vidhi. Some of these notes are more technical than the purports of the Bhagavatam chapter and are meant to supplement the purports, not replace them. Others are more general, showing how Krishna conscious philosophy is realized in the various procedures of deity worship. Although to save space, we have not included the Bhagavatam purports of chapter 27 here. Anyone using this manual should read them carefully. Further note, do not be confused by some differences in the sequence of procedures, as they appear in this chapter from a list of 64 upachars from Paribhakti Vilas, in chapter 2 of volume 1. As followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we apply in detail Lord Krishna's instructions on deity worship by following the Goswami's directions compiled in the Paribhakti Vilas. In other words, the Pancharatra gives, you have 108 Pancharatras. And the Pancharatra itself, according to time, place, and circumstance, may be applied in so many different ways. So this way one comes up with many variations. Just like, let's say, prayers. Someone may not be so much into the prayers. They just, you know, off of one or two, just the basic prayers, and that's it. Someone else is really into prayers, and they look into the chapter on prayers, and look at the other books, and then they get so many prayers. Excuse me. So they may put an emphasis on prayers. Someone else may put an emphasis on more elaborate bathing. Someone else may more elaborate on dressing, or ornaments, flowers, like this, or the different arrangements for the altar. So like this, the Panchratra accommodates all of this. So depending upon the persons who are describing it and their particular interests, they're describing it too, the questions being asked and answered, then we will find that there are different emphases being put. Right? It's all the same thing. It's just a matter of just kind of where paraphernalia, exactly how much or less, more or less, one or two things may be switched around like that. It doesn't matter much. The principles will always be the same, but we may see differences in manifestations. And you'll find even within our own movement, you go temple to temple, then there'll be such differences between one and the other. It's just the way the setup is. One place, you have a certain facilities, another, different facilities, or the kind of people that are there, or what you have. Like that, so that will always make some difference. So here, text 1. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, O Master of the devotees, please explain to me the prescribed method of worshipping you in your deity form. What are the qualifications of those devotees who worship the deity? On what basis is such worship established? And what is the specific method of worship?" Okay, so now he should explain what is the worship. So what is the worship mean? What is the philosophy and everything behind it? Why we're doing it? What is its basis? How it's functioning? Then we see what is the qualification for someone who could do this. Because the more refined something gets, the more qualified the person who's going to perform it has to be. Right? For doing some simple thing. Just like you get together a few devotees, you know, you kind of like throw together a script. Maybe it's not even written. You know, everybody knows the story of Shukadev, and you get together a few devotees and that, and you know, say, okay, you be Prahlad, and you be Nrsimha, and you be this and that. And they go on, they just do something. You know? So it doesn't take much. Or if one devotee writes up a little script, have some devotees, they rehearse for a day or two, and they put it on. Now, if you want to do some very elaborate drama, it's going to take some weeks or months of practice. So it takes more endeavor, more qualification. So like that, then here he's pointing out that if we're doing this specific aspect of deity worship, then there must be some qualification to do it. To do anything, there must be a qualification. Right? To act, you must have an acting ability, otherwise you can't act. So in the same way here, if we're going to do deity worship, there must be some qualification, some basic. Otherwise, one will not get a result. And he wants to know what are the specific methods, what are the exact details. So there's the principles, there's the details, there's the personalities involved, you know, what's their qualification, and then you have the goal. So Kshetra Prabhu explains here. The process of deity worship is learned in succession from the spiritual master and his representatives. The spiritual master must first determine whether the disciple is qualified to be a guru pujari. If a devotee is engaged in deity worship simply because there is no one else available to perform the service, then there is every chance that he or she will commit offenses, for which those who have engaged the unqualified person will be at least partially responsible. The person must be qualified. Otherwise, then, was authorized that they will get the action. Because the deity goes on, you have to be qualified and you have to be authorized by somebody to do worship. Right? Just like we see when we're always approaching the spiritual master and asking that we may, with their blessings, then do this worship. It's always being asked. Text 2. All the great sages repeatedly declare that such worship brings the greatest benefit possible in human life. This is the opinion of Arjuna, the great Vyasadeva, and my own spiritual master, Brihaspati. Explanation. First two verses hint at the philosophical aspect of Pancharatra Kshastra known as Samhita. The Samhita of Pancharatra deals with most of the philosophical tenets found in the Bhagavatam, focusing on the fact that the deity form of the Lord is non-different from the original form of the Lord in the spiritual world. According to Pancharatra texts, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in five forms. Para is the original form of the Lord in the spiritual world, the Lord of Vrindavan. Duha are his four Dikams, expansions of the Lord, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Vaibhav are the 24 expansions of Narayana presiding over the Vaikuntha planets. Antaryami resides in the heart of every living entity, is the Paramatma. And Archivigraha is the deity form of the Lord appearing in the material world to accept worship. The Archivigraha includes the other four forms. and therefore the arch of Vigraha possesses all the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-35 purport, Srila Prabhupada succinctly explains the significance of the arch of Vigraha. Mayavadis and atheists accept the forms of the deities of the temple of the Lord as idols. The devotees do not worship idols. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his archa incarnation. Where are they going? Actually, in our present state, archa refers to the form which we can worship in our present condition. Actually, in our present state, it is not possible to see God in a spiritual form, because our material eyes and senses cannot perceive a spiritual form. We cannot even see the spiritual form of the individual soul. When a man dies, we cannot see how the spiritual form leaves the body. That is the defect of our material senses. In order to be seen by our material senses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a favorable form which is called archa-vigraha. This archa-vigraha, sometimes called the archa incarnation, is not different from him. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts various incarnations, he takes on forms made out of matter, clay, wood, metal, and jewels. And there are many Shastric injunctions which give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. If God is all-pervading, then he is also in the material elements. There is no doubt about it. The atheists think otherwise. Although they preach that everything is God, when they go to the temple and see the form of the Lord, they deny that he is God. According to their theory, everything is God. Then why is the deity not God? Actually, they have no conception of God. The devotee's vision, however, is different. Their vision is smeared with love of God. As soon as they see the Lord in its different forms, the devotees become saturated with love. For they do not find any difference between the Lord and his form in the temple, as do the atheists. The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual. And decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is the duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations which are followed in temple to Vishnu, and devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form because all of the deities are benevolent. The devotees express their minds before the deity. In many instances, the deity also gives answers. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotee through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity, and how they speak with him in devotional spirits. Text 3 and 4. O magnanimous Lord, the instructions on this process of deity worship first emanated from your lotus mouth. Then they were spoken by the great Lord Brahma to his sons, headed by Bhrigu, and by Lord Shiva to his wife, Parvati. This process is accepted by and appropriate all the occupational and spiritual orders of society. Therefore, we consider worship of you in the deity form to be the most beneficial of all spiritual practices, even for women and children. Explanation. Pancharatra was originally spoken by the Lord himself. Gradually, as it was disseminated via the disciplic succession, the number of recognized Pancharatra texts has expanded to 108. Unlike the more strict Vedic system of worship, Pancharatric worship is very liberal, and it allows anyone from any social order to worship the deity. provided the devotee is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master into the chanting of Pancharatrika mantras. As Srila Prabhupada explains, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced only by our spiritual senses, which can be revived by the chanting of the holy name, holy mantras, or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced under the direction of the spiritual master. That will lead us gradually nearer to the Lord. This method is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. Bhagavatam 1.5.30. Initiation is considered a second birth, as it transforms one's existence, as the Hari Bhakti Vilas states. Tata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vihanata tata diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nirinam. Just as bone metal is transformed into gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. And it gives some results of worshiping the deity. Archana Fall. In verse 4, In verse 4, Uddhava says to the Lord, I consider worship of you in your deity form to be the most beneficial of all spiritual practices. The benefits of deity worship are numerous, as Srila Prabhupada describes. The following quotations list up the results attained by those who can worship the deity. Archana Sati. One attains perfection in deity worship, that is called Archan Siddhi. Archan Siddhi means simply by worship, deity worship, one goes back to Godhead immediately after this life. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 18th March, 1869. I think he also mentions Sanatana Goswami as Archan Siddhi. No, Sadhana Siddhi. Developing of a Krishna. So if you can carry on your service to Radha and Krishna according to the prescribed rules, your love of Krishna will increase more and more. This you are seeing practically by the grace of Krishna. We are following the prescribed method of temple worship, as it is the effective program for the developing the highest perfection of pure love of Krishna. Letter of Srila Prabhupada, 16th January, 1870. Peace and enthusiasm. The deity must be very nicely worshipped, dressed, and fed. In so doing, it will always be peaceful and enlivened. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 8th January, 1976. Preached Krishna consciousness. So many people come to the New Delhi temple because of the nice deity worship. This is very good. Keep the standard of deity worship very nicely. Letter from Prabhupada, 11th July, 1976. Proof of sincere service. The deity is proof of the sincere service. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 10th November, 1975. Living in Vaikuntha. So we already are in Vaikuntha by participating in the temple activities. 6th November, 1976. 74. Srila Prabhupada. Thinking of Krishna automatically. We have also established the worship of the deity in the temple, so that all day long one will automatically think of Krishna. He is so kind. Letter of Srila Prabhupada, 7th October, 1974. Maintaining purity in health, mind, and intelligence. In actually worshipping the deities, we can be so pure in condition of health, mind, and intelligence. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 5th November, 1973. Doing lust. So to subdue lust is a different process than you have to take to deity worship. Krishna is Madan Mohan. I am sure this process, helped by your regular chanting, will kill Mr. Lust, rest assured. Letter by Srila Prabhupada, 7th October, 1968. Beautifying the heart and feeling transcendental bliss. I am pleased that you are decorating your temple nicely, and the more you decorate the temple beautifully, the more your heart will be beautiful. The example is that the more you decorate the original, the more the reflection automatically is decorated. So our heart is the reflection of the original consciousness, Krishna, and the more Krishna and his paraphernalia are decorated, the more this will be reflected in our heart, and we will feel transcendental bliss. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 27th October, 1969. Bringing yavanas and malechas to spiritual life. Preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement have actually experienced that even the yavanas and malechas are taken to spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's Panchatantrika Vidhi. When mankind follows the disciplic succession as recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone throughout the world will benefit. Bhagavatam 4:27-26. Yeah. Getting direct inspiration. This is one of the reasons why Uddhava was advised to go to Bhadradikashram, where the Lord is personally represented by the Narayana deity. One who is transcendentally advanced can gain direct inspiration from the temple deity. And thus, a devotee of the Lord always takes shelter of a recognized temple of the Lord in order to make tangible advancement in transcendental knowledge by the grace of the Lord. Bhagavatam 3:43 purport. There's a deity there that we can see, but they also.
Then Uddhava has planned to go to see Diti, not to see direct Narayana.
If one has the proper vision, the deity is directly the Lord. None different. Because that's the lower Bhadri, that is the upper Bhadri. The lower Bhadri we can get to. The upper Bhadri, where they will sit and do their meditation, we can't get to. You can get there by, if in your walking, you could step from the top of one mountain to the top of the next mountain. Then you can get to the upper Bhadri. So if one has that potency, like Madhvacharya could, it's like his followers came with him. Then when he got to that point, then he started walking, stepping from mountain to mountain. And at that time, then the others found themselves, they couldn't do it. So they let him continue on his way, and they stayed at lower Bhadri, and worshipped the deity there. So at upper Bhadri, that also reveals it in a sense. So the deity is non-different. Then one gets their association. That's the very nicest point about beautifying the heart. So when you worship the Lord, beautify the Lord, the material world and everything going on is a reflection of what's happening there. So if you you do nice things in the spiritual, that reflects into the material. What we are doing for the deity then comes also within our own heart. That will reflect there. And that means everything will be very, very nice. So the more we can serve the Lord nicely, think of the Lord and do service for the Lord, then the more we find that also reflects in our heart. Studying all the Vedas. Quote, anyone who engages in the worship of the deity or the form of the Lord at the temple is understood to be studying all the Vedas 24 hours a day. Simply by decorating the deities of the Lord, Radha and Krishna, in the temple, one very minutely studies the injunctions of the Vedas. Even a neophyte devotee who simply engages in the worship of the deity is understood to be in direct touch with the purport of Vedic knowledge. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedya. The purport of the Vedas is to understand him, Krishna. One who worships and serves Krishna directly has understood the truth of the Vedas. Bhagavatam 4:7-46 purport. Freedom from poverty. We worship Lakshmi, Radharani, along with Narayana, Krishna. We collect money from various sources. But that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana. Money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayana. The devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. Bhagavatam 5.14.24 purport. Last one of Uddhava speaks. Text 5. O Lotus Eyed One, O Supreme Lord of all lords of the universe, please explain to your devoted servant this means of liberation from the bondage of work. Explanation. One must be free from the bondage of fruitive activities to obtain pure devotional service. By worshipping the deity under regulation, one easily attains the benefit. The following quotes suggest liberation without separate endeavor. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all of the consciousness. His senses are freed from all engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Bhagavatam 3:25-36. So here, by taking darshan of the deity, hearing the kirtan, hearing the Bhagavatam class, then one becomes very absorbed in that, and then one attains liberation without any separate endeavor. So this is the benefit. Because when you have the deity in the temple, then all the different activities will go on nicely. You can take darshan of the deities, sing kirtan for them. We like to chant our japa there, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, we associate with devotees, we receive prasad from the deities. So all the main aspects of devotional service are all accomplished in this temple atmosphere. So then this is very beneficial for us. You know, when we see the charming forms of the Lord smiling and attractive and hearing his very pleasing words, pure devotee almost loses all of the consciousness. So as we are advanced, we're able to actually take more and more advantage of what is happening in the temple. And less advanced, and less, we're not as attracted by the charming forms, smiling and attractive, and hearing the pleasing words, and I can step outside into the courtyard and speak to you, you know, you hear the latest, and, you know, we're attracted, at least we are attracted by Krishna in his form of Mahapadada. So we're standing out in the courtyard as the kirtan is going on at the temple, and, you know, at least we're associating with the Lord through his pradada. Maybe we're not so attracted by his charming forms and smiling and attractive face and all these things, but in some way we're attracted. Then, perceivable liberation, impersonalists become devotees. Three divisions of devotees, first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It's explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. Even the third-class devotee, who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth, simply offers obeisances of great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity. Becomes imperceptibly liberated. Well, see, even the third-class devotee who does these things becomes imperceptibly liberated. So imperceptibly liberated, the other third class devotees cannot understand it. So they think the other third class devotee is just a schnook, right? Like that.
It means this consciousness that the devotee is performing this activity for.
I mean, just we read now?
Yes.
Absorbed in thought of it, loses all other consciousness. It means one, by becoming absorbed in the deity worship, one loses all other mundane things that one thinks about. One is so worried about maintenance, one's own protection, position in the material world, you know, facilities, influence, and the list goes on and on, like that. We forget about all that, because it's all illusion, like that. It's all illusion. So now it's a matter of what it comes down to is if, because we cannot necessarily perceive what's going on, we have to accept the Lord's version. Because otherwise then we place ourselves as authority. That, yes, I know this person is this, that person is that. But if they come before the deity and they're happy upon seeing the deity and how beautiful they are and they're chanting nicely and like that, they're not thinking of anything else at the time, then according to this, they're liberated.
But when the thoughts come back to you, think about
it. Maybe, but the point is the platform that the third class devotee is on is a devotee. Is there actually better than any Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and all these different things? Very special. But, so if one can't do, but it misses here, even the third class devotee is not advanced in knowledge, like that. But we see here the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits for the deity. If I said something like this, okay, you have somebody who thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, likes to go and see, brings gifts to the deity. Then we will consider that's a very, quite nice situated devotee. But that's the description of a third class. Right? So now we have to take what is first class, second class, third class from the authorities. We cannot make up our own. We can't just catch one. You have to see what is the whole picture. Right? One always has its meaning, but you have to see that we didn't just snag the detail and miss the principle. So here it's describing this is third class. So now one would have to really think, am I actually up to the standard of a third class devotee? Right? Because here it said they go to the temple, see the deity, they're very happy, they offer obeisances, like that, and while they see the deity, they forget about all other things. It's a third class devotee. Right? So when we're on that platform, then we can consider making some judgments on other devotees. Right? But if you're on that platform, it says you forget about all these other things. So one is not interested in making all these judgments. Right? So if we're not absorbed like this and we're very busy trying to make judgments on other devotees, and it's not necessarily our business. We're not responsible for those particular devotees. Then we might consider that maybe we're below the standard of a third class devotee. So a third class devotee is described as one who doesn't know very nicely the Shastra. So now if we're below that standard, then we can really understand that we don't know what we're talking about. Right? We don't know, because some knowledge is not enough. It says we don't know nicely the absolute truth. So have to be very, very careful. Therefore, the devotee is humble. The devotee is always humble. Otherwise, then the tendency is that we will always make mistakes because of our conditioned nature. So this is the third class devotee. And he is liberated. Let alone the second class and the first class. So this is the meaning. This is the third class pure devotee. So what they're doing, they're trying to do for Krishna. They may not be perfect, they may still have so many anarthas in their heart, like this, but they're trying. So here, Prabhupada's pointing out, this person is liberated. Imperceptibly liberated. So this is, one is liberated by the practice. So this is the potency of devotional service. See, we underestimate, we have to be very careful and underestimate the power of devotional service. is we're saying that devotional service can't purify somebody. So we have to see things in particular light. Then things start to work. Like this. Yes.
Just for discussion, usually when Prabhupada describes third, second, first class of devotee, then it looks like this third class of devotees is very common in our society, and rather besides that we should rise to a new second class of devotees.
Yes.
And I think in common understanding is that the third class devotee is not such high standard that we explain this.
No, what I'm saying is this. Only those that can see with this vision that is being described here can get to the second class platform. Otherwise, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that one will ever come near being a second class devotee.
Then just preaching, if somebody is acting a platform.
They may be doing the activities of a madhyama. Because for us, the uttama comes down to the platform of a madhyama and performs those duties. The kanista comes to that platform, at least in the way of duties and activities. But what Prabhupada is saying here is you also have to bring the consciousness to that level. Because the kanista has a tendency sometimes to slip from this platform. See, there's two ways of looking. The very important thing we discussed before is how you look. See, there's the vision for others, there's the vision for yourself. The vision for others is what we just described, very broad-minded. The third-class devotee is very elevated. To see they come to the temple, they're offering their obeisances, they're looking at the deity with such nice devotion. We can understand by that, they're liberated. That is liberation. See, we have this idea, the impersonalist. We have to be very, very... Somebody went to save the West from nirvistation, shunyavad, which means voidism and impersonalism. So that is what the Western culture is totally infected with. Because even the Western religions are impersonalists. They say they're monotheistic and they're personal. But when you talk to the very advanced levels of people in that, they'll say God has no form, no nothing. I just visited Israel. And there's a devotee there who is in Jerusalem, right? If you want to get into Judaism, you go to Israel. In Israel, then Jerusalem. And there... The religion course is all this run by the rabbis and stuff like that. And these rabbis, they're really into the philosophy of Judaism. And they get into the Kabbalah and all these different kinds of this. And they say that the form of all that is described in the Torah, in the Old Testament, then that is just something for the neophytes to fix their mind on. But when you actually become advanced, then you know that the Lord has no form. It's just straight. They're just straight smartas. But instead of having a shaved head and a ska and no beard, they got a beard. And the seat instead of in the back is in the front. You know? Like that. Otherwise, they're totally into rules and regulations and into impersonalism. Right? There's this interesting combination of very much into the rules and regulations and their impersonal philosophy. So one has to be very careful, like that. These are Christians also, they say God, person, this, that, so many things. Jesus is God, and you say God is a person, he has form, this, that, and I'll say no. So it's a personal, you know? Also Islam, they accept the form, you can do this, that. Buddhism, of course, doesn't. Jainism doesn't. So all the modern non-Vedic religions, they don't accept God as actually as a person with form. Like that. Your main aspects of it. And on the lower level, yes, but on the higher level, no. So no. You know? And even if they do have, that there is a spiritual form, then they have to merge into it. So like that. It comes out either from the Nirvistesh, or Shunyavad. Nirvistesh, no qualities, nothing special, no distinctive aspects. Shunyavad is zero, nothing. Shunya is zero. we have to be very careful that these conditions we have, we don't let enter into the devotional process. The devotional process is transcendental. Someone touches it, they are transcendental. This would be like this. Someone, you say, you touch, you have current, you have a line with current in it. And you have so many items that are not touching this current. So now, whether one is in great knowledge or not, you touch that line, you're connected to the current. Electricity is there, it's flowing. The other items may say, oh, wait a minute, just yesterday this person was also not touching the current like us. Oh, what's so special about him? We know him. He's got a bad switch over here, and he's got, you know, a few shorted out wires over on that side. And, you know, look at the fan cover over there, it's half broken, and the paint's peeling off. And what's so special about this machine, you know, this motor, just because he's touching the electricity. So the thing is it's a lack of faith in understanding what is transcendental. You touch transcendental, it becomes transcendental. So when we have that vision, that is how we look at everybody else. Then we can get to the second class platform. Otherwise, no chance. Not a chance at all. Means at least we have to be endeavoring for that. For ourselves, that's where we find all the faults. I don't have the proper qualification. I don't have all these different things. I am not able to perform these activities nicely. I am useless. And because of having that nature, then that elevates us to the Madhyama platform. And then from there to the Uttara platform. Madhyama starts with not peace ni chena toror dasa hishnana amatina mana dena kirtaniya sahari. That's where it starts. So we're not humble, we're not tolerant, we're not respectful of others, and not wanting respect for ourselves. Then it's very difficult to say we're well situated. So that means we have some work for it to get out. You know? We have our work cut out for us. So that is what we do. We should, instead of sitting around and trying to find fault in everybody in the universe, especially anybody above us, right? Because that's another material quality. Anyone above us, we find fault, try to bring them down. Anyone equal to us, we try to prove ourselves as better. Anyone junior to us, we exploit. Spiritual, it's anyone above us, we respect. Anyone equal to us, we make friends with. Anyone below us, then we're kind to. Right? So that means, Trinada Pisuni Chena. And if one doesn't have it, one can be infected by the other. So both of these things are going on at once. Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. See, we have this very nice, seemingly contradictory philosophy. That there's two kinds of things happening at once. Right? Just like you have the child and you have the parent. There's a rasa there. But the child has to see from his vision. The mother sees from her vision. The child sees from the mother's vision. You know, hey, what's this? You know, you're supposed to be very kind to me. You're supposed to talk nicely. And when I fall down and all that, then you're supposed to come over and, you know, pick me up and pat me on the head and say it'll be all right. All this, and I'm upset like this because I didn't get to do this, and my friend did that to me. You're not encouraging me. You're just saying, you know, don't be silly. So, I mean, what kind of mother are you? You know? Right? So, is that the way it works? No, the kid just sees himself. He's a kid. He's my mother. I'm supposed to behave nicely. I'm supposed to do these things. So like that, one has to be very, very careful. One sees things from one's own side. One shouldn't see from someone else's. You know what the standard is, and you apply that to yourself. The scriptures, when they're being very broad-minded and idealistic, that's what we apply to others. We look for that little bit of good. And when the scriptures are being very strict and very fine, you know, cutting points, that's what we apply to ourselves.
But sometimes to avoid association.
Of course, we see that. I mean, if it's very obvious, that's there. But still, we should be able to see the good. You know? Like that. Should be able to see the good. Because you tend to see someone's a devotee, there's something good there. You know? Something nice. So we see that. Then we get somewhere. So chapters describe both sides. We have to know which side to apply in which way. If we don't know, it's also a symptom that we're third class. Because the third class doesn't know the philosophy of the absolute truth very nicely. So they mixed up the whole process. Who's supposed to be doing what? You know, so therefore the son is telling the mother what to do. Instead of the mother telling the son what to do. And they say, the senior person is not qualified. But under whose authority are we saying that? And do we actually know who qualification is? Because just that we can find a fault doesn't mean that we can find good. Right? And only someone who can find good can actually understand what's going on. Krishna came into the assembly of all the people of Mathura when he came to visit Kamsa. And you see there's 15 different reactions. Some thought he was just a foolish kid. Just an idiot kid. And these are people who are seeing Krishna directly face to face. Right? So therefore, I mean, Maharaj Ruhukna, he couldn't understand Jarabara was a Brahmin. He's seeing right face to face. He can't even carry the palanquin properly. You know? And this is Paramahamsa. He can't even do a simple thing to carry a palanquin, right? Paramahamsa, they're perfect. He can do everything. Right? You know? Just like Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna consciousness can answer any question. We have all the answers. So then the person asks, okay, you have all the answers, you know everything. How many windows in the Empire State Building? So this Prabhupada just turned and looked at him and said, how many windows in a garage? What can you say? We get so caught up with material perfection. Material perfection is illusion. Absolutely illusion. You know how to manage the planet, you know how to raise money, you know how to talk, you know how to do anything. All illusion, from top to bottom, unless you can connect it to Krishna. And if it's not connected to Krishna, it is useless. Totally. If you can connect it to Krishna, then it is usefully, totally. So those who know how to see the connection with Krishna, this person may be a rascal, but when he comes in the temple, he offers his obeisance to Krishna. So he has some respect for the deity. He may have no respect for everybody else, fights with everybody else, and this and that. But he has some respect for the deity. So we can appreciate that. Then we can also understand, but fights with everybody else, and this and that, that's not good. So I appreciate this side. I avoid the other side. So we have to be able to see what good someone is doing. And if you do that, it works very nice. If you can't do that, then one should sit down, not talk so much. Because, according to this purport that Prabhupada gives, one is consistent, and one doesn't have very good knowledge of the Shastras. And without proper knowledge of the Shastras, when we try to perform social activities, it'll be sentiment. Therefore, our yelling and screaming is just sentiment. It's not backed by philosophy. We may quote something, but are we quoting it properly? So we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. So the whole process of deity worship is to bring that out. Because we see, the deity worship brings all the devotees together, brings all these things. We have the opportunity for this. But because we don't know the Shastras, we think only the guy waving, twirling incense is doing deity worship. And all the other people in the temple are not. This is called lack of understanding, the philosophy. Anyone who's in the temple, who's come there for the purpose to see the deity or take part in the program, is performing deity worship. It says, the devotee on the altar is also in the temple and is doing something for the deity, they're also doing puja. They're also doing worship. So it's not just limited to that person. Like that. So this is a science. We have to study it. We have to understand it. Otherwise, we'll make a big mess because of our impersonalism and bogus. And it goes both ways. You know? It takes two to make a mess. Right? Yudhishthira's Adata Shatru. For him, no enemy has been born. So you cannot create a rasa of enemy, nimbleness with Yudhishthira. You may be inimical to Yudhishthira, but he's not inimical to us. Right? So therefore, it's a one-sided thing. So we have to be very, very careful. Just as we can become inimical, because we can find fault, does not make us fully qualified. We always have to remember that. If we have that understanding, then one can actually understand what to do, when, how, why, with who, you know? Like this. So we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.